Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for the message. I started last week teaching and preaching through the book of Ephesians in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2, on this subject, the quickening of God's grace. The quickening of God's grace. Last week is part one. This is part two. And I'm pretty much just going through Ephesians 2, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. And certainly one that is a very, very full chapter concerning the gospel of God's grace, how salvation is by grace. I quote all the time, and maybe many of you do, Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But today I'm talking about the quickening of God's grace. This is part two. And it comes from, the title comes from verse 1, but we're going to look at some other verses. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And that quickening means to make alive, give life. And what he's talking about there is the new birth, what some theologians call regeneration and conversion. I mentioned last week in John chapter 3 and verse 3, where Christ told Nicodemus, "You must be born again. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God," the new birth. And the reason that sinners have to be quickened is because by nature, we're born spiritually dead. We fell in Adam. The Bible speaks of us being ruined by the fall. Our fall in Adam, Adam being the representative of the whole human race. And therefore, when Adam fell, we all fell in him. We fell into sin and death. And as a result of that, we're born spiritually dead. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." This is one of the realms or aspects of salvation, which is the spiritual realm, which is the new birth, the quickening. Now, if you don't believe that by nature you and all of us born of Adam are spiritually dead, then you don't believe we have to be quickened. You don't believe we have to be born again. Why do we have to be born again? Christ said, "Except you be born again, you cannot see." That's because we don't have spiritual eyes. We have physical eyes. We have a natural understanding, minds, affections, but we don't have spirit. We're dead spiritually. And dead is everything that dead means. It's not partially dead. It's not dead with a spark of life or dead with a spark of goodness. You know, a lot of people today believe that man still retains, he fell in Adam and he's under the influence of sin, but he's not so fallen and depraved that he doesn't retain a spark of goodness. And all we have to do is get him into a revival meeting and some dynamic preacher fan the flame to get it going. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that spiritually speaking now, we're just like Lazarus in the tomb, dead, stinking, wrapped in the grave clothes. And it takes the Spirit of God in the truth of Christ to say, "Lazarus, come forth." He didn't say, "Lazarus, come forth and make your decision," or "Lazarus, if you'll just cooperate with me," or "Lazarus, come part of the way." No, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus came forth. When the Spirit of Christ calls in this quickening, then you will come to Christ. It's an invincible call, and I'm going to talk about that today a little bit. But let's read these first three verses, and I'm going to go on through the chapter. I dealt with these first three last week. Verse 1, "You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, worldliness. That is, before I was born again, that's what I've done. I was a religious person. I was in a seminary, but I hadn't been quickened. I didn't see the reality of the gospel of God's grace in Christ. I was like the Pharisees in Romans chapter 10. I was ignorant of and not submitted to the righteousness of God in Christ. I thought I was saved because I'd made a decision, or I'd walked an aisle, I got baptized, I dedicated my life, I did all these. No, that's not why God saves sinners. Salvation is by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon what He accomplished on the cross in bringing forth an everlasting righteousness. Whereby God could be just and justifier. You see, that's what you need to be saved. That's what I need to be saved, righteousness. And I don't have it. I cannot work it. And before I was quickened, I didn't want it God's way. I wanted it my way. I was like Cain, bringing my works, my efforts, my decisions, rather than just falling at the feet of Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. You see, this is His righteousness imputed is the only ground of salvation. I didn't see that until I was quickened. So I walked according to the course of this world, in my case, the religious world, according to the prince of the power of the air, deceived by Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's unbelievers, that's people who have not been quickened, not been born again. Verse 3, among whom we all had our conversation, our conduct, in times past in the lust of the flesh, that's any unlawful desire, even unlawful religious desires, fulfilling the desires or the wills of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, what I desired before I was quickened was not glorifying to God and honoring to Christ. And then he says, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, what does that mean? Well, by nature means how we are naturally born. Now remember what I've said before. We have been ruined by the fall. What does it take to save a sinner? Well, that sinner first has to be chosen of God. That's what the Scripture says. Ephesians 1 talks about that. Over in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, listen to this. According as He, that is God, hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So chosen of God. And then we must be redeemed by the blood of Christ. Ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood. And that redemption is the payment price to the justice of God for the sins that I have committed, both my sin in Adam and my own personal sins. God is a holy God, and He must be just when He justifies. He must be just when He has mercy or shows love or has grace. He must be just when He forgives sin. He cannot forgive sin just on a notion. Sin has to be paid for. The debt has to be paid. Who paid it? Jesus Christ did on the cross. God must be righteous, just, when He justifies me. What is it to be justified before God? It means to be not guilty. It means to be righteous before Him. How can I, a sinner, be righteous before God? There's only one way. And that is through the blood of Christ, based on His righteousness, charged, accounted, imputed, reckoned to me. That's how. And so, having been ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood, and because we're born dead in trespasses and sins, we are by nature, as we are naturally born, we're no different. We who are saved now, we who are God's chosen people, redeemed by the blood, and eventually regenerated by the Spirit, but before we're quickened, we are no different than the children of wrath. by nature children of wrath, even as others. Who are those children of wrath? That's the non-elect. He speaks of them in Romans chapter 9. Vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. And the thing about it is, there is no reason in any of God's people, God's chosen people, for Him to save them. They're no different. We're all sinners. If God saves a sinner, it's because of God's sovereign, free grace. You know, people talk about, well, I had a man tell me one time, he said, I believe about God's elect, that God looked down through a telescope of time and He foresaw who would believe and who wouldn't. My friend, that is not the God of the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that. It says here, as we read earlier, verse 4 of chapter 1, according as He hath chosen us in Christ. It's the election of grace. But we don't deserve, if we're saved, we didn't deserve salvation. We didn't earn it. It's totally by God's grace. The children of wrath, think about this. The true chosen people of God have never been under His wrath. What is His wrath? It's His punishment for sin. Why have I not been under God's wrath? Because Christ took the wrath of God in my place. He's my surety. And He's my substitute. So before this quickening, you see, this quickening is necessary. Now this quickening is not by the works or the will of man. Now remember, we read John 3 and verse 3, where Christ said, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Look at John chapter 1. Now this is an important verse. And it puts things in the proper light. He's talking about Christ here in John chapter 1 as the embodiment of the Word of God, the eternal Logos. That's what that word is. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. That's Christ the Word. And then he speaks of how Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, how Christ came into the world as the true light. He is the light. Well, look at John 1 and verse 11. It says here that He, that is Christ, came unto His own. Now, some commentators, in their commentary on this verse, they add the word nation. That's not in the original. He came into His own nation, talking about the Jewish nation. And that could be true. That's included. He says, and His own received Him not. Now that's a picture of man by nature. Somebody asked me one time to define the doctrine of election. And I said, well, begin this way. If the whole human race fell in Adam, and it did, we did, let's say after the fall, God came to earth and He stood on a mountain and He gathered the whole fallen human race and announced that, I will save you if you will do this, that, or the other, or decide this, that, or the other. How many people out of that fallen human race do you think would cooperate and agree with God? And if we read the Bible and go by the Bible, the answer is zero, not one. The psalmist wrote that twice, how God looked down from heaven to see if there was any who did seek Him. And there was none. There was none. Man on his own will not seek the Lord. Now he'll seek religion. He'll seek salvation. He'll seek heaven. He'll seek eternal life. But he will insist on doing it his way. And this is what I'm telling you. If you don't believe this gospel of God's free and sovereign grace through the blood and righteousness of Christ, and you're religious, well, all you're doing is showing your rebellion and depravity and spiritual death. You haven't seen the kingdom of God yet. You haven't been quickened. So he says, he came unto his own, verse 11, and his own received him not. But now look at verse 12, John 1. But as many as received him. Now there were some who received him. You can read about him as you go through the book of John here. But as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that word power in John 1 and verse 12 does not mean ability. Now, in this quickening by the Holy Spirit, that God makes his people willing in the day of his power. Psalm 110 says that. That's what God, the Holy Spirit, does in this new birth. He imparts spiritual life and knowledge, and he convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and he makes God's people willing to come to God God's way. That's what happened to Abel, but it didn't happen to Cain. Cain was left to himself. Cain insisted on it his way, but Abel was made willing to come God's way. If you're quickened by the Spirit with the life of Jesus Christ, some theologians call it the resurrection life of Christ, you will be made willing to come to God God's way. So that word power there, though, in John 1:12 does not mean ability. It means the right or the privilege to be called the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. His name identifies and distinguishes him. So here's what I'm saying. If I claim to be saved, if I claim to be quickened, born again, if I claim to be a child of God, a Christian, what right do I have to make that claim? That's what he's talking about. Well, do I believe on his name? What is his name? Matthew 1:21. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:23. His name shall be called Emmanuel. It's being interpreted, God with us. What did he accomplish? Righteousness. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the completion, the perfection, the finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But now look at John 1:13. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave them the right to be called the sons of God. What's the evidence of that? They believe on his name. If you've been quickened by the Spirit, you believe in Christ. You rest in Christ. You trust Christ. You submit to his righteousness. And you forsake all your own. Like Paul in Philippians chapter 3, I count it all but loss, but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. But look at verse 13. Now those who receive him, they were born. Verse 13, which were born. Well, not of blood. All right. He's not talking about their first natural birth. Not of blood. That's the natural birth. And he's saying here that this quickening power that brought them to receive Christ was not by physical birth. Now that's important because many of the unbelieving Jews claimed to be children of God because they were physical descendants of Abraham. We be Abraham's seed, children. I remember in Matthew chapter 3, old John the Baptist, boy, he said, don't think to say that. That won't do you any good. Being a physical descendant of Abraham, he was saying, and Christ said this in John chapter 8 too, 8, all through John 8. Being a physical Jew does not give you any right or privilege to be called a child of God. And I'll say this to the people that listen to me on this program. Going to church, being born in the South, reading a Bible, making a decision, walking an aisle, being baptized does not give you any right, or me any right, to be called children of God. What gives us that right or that privilege? Believing on His name. That's His name as He's identified in this book. Not as you think Him to be. Not as many of these preachers today tell you that He is. Most of these preachers today, they have a weak Jesus who's trying to save you if you'll just let Him. Oh no, that's not His name. He's the sovereign King of kings who saved His people, and He will have them. He said, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me." He said, "No one will pluck them out of My hand." He said, "This is the will of the Father, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but raise Him up again, raise it up again at the last day." So He says in verse 13, "Which were born not of blood," so it's not a physical birth, "nor of the will of the flesh." That's the works of the flesh. This quickening, this new birth, is not of the works of the flesh. And then He says, "nor of the will of man." It's not by your will that you're born again. You know, years ago, a famous preacher wrote a book on how to be born again. And here's basically what he said. He says what most preachers say today. Well, then you make your decision for Christ, you believe, and then you're born again. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born, look at it, verse 13, born of God. That's how sinners are born again. It's by the will of God. Over in the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 17, listen to this. He says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights," that's the true and living God, "with whom is no variableness, no change, neither shadow of turning." And verse 18, "of His own will begat He us," that begat is the new birth, "with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." We're not born by our own will. We're born by the will. If we're born, we're born by the will of God. And that's the key. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and listen to this. So Paul writes, you hath He quickened. He's given spiritual life. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's not that you moved towards Him and then He responded. No. Born of God. But look at verse 4 of Ephesians 2. He says, "But God..." Now here's a sinner, fallen in Adam, ruined, spiritually dead, with no desires towards the true and living God and His way of salvation by grace in Christ. But it says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Now, who's He talking about here? He's not talking about everybody without exception. He's talking about those who He's quickened. And this love, this is the unconditional love of God towards His people in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, there is no love of God for sinners apart from Christ. There's only wrath and even hatred. And I know people don't like to hear that. Oh, God doesn't hate anybody. Well, the Bible says He does. Psalm 2, Romans 9, and other places. But God's hatred is not sinful. It's not God throwing a tantrum. It's not like our hatred. Our hatred is sinful. That's why we're not to hate anybody. Because we're so selfish and prejudiced. Our hatred is based upon our pride and our empty fleshly desires. But God's hatred is simply His justice, His wrath against sin. It's right for God to hate all workers of iniquity. Now, how in the world could God love me? There's only one way. That's through Christ. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, because we don't by nature, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice that satisfied justice for our sins. And that's what He's talking about here. This great love is the unconditional love of God for His elect, proven by His sending Christ into the world to satisfy justice and bring forth righteousness for them. And here's the proof of it. Now listen, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now, in verse 1, the quickening there is the new birth. In verse 5, the quickening here is our standing, is the believer standing in Christ on the cross. Look at it. Verse 5 again. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then by grace you are saved. And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking about a time here when all the elect of God, all those who, even though ruined by the fall, all those who are redeemed by the blood and eventually will be regenerated by the Spirit, this is a time when they all collectively together as a body were quickened with Christ. Now, when did that happen? That happened on the cross. You see, just as Adam was the representative of the whole human race when he fell in the garden, Jesus Christ is the representative of the whole election of grace on the cross. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was. When he arose again, I arose again. Now, I'll talk more about that in the next message. I hope you'll join us for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.